Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take it outside today, and this is going to be fun. Let's talk with Toby from Fortress Building Products. These guys here do some different stuff. And you know something? When we jump into stuff like this and I say, okay, this is some different materials, it gets me excited because we have some options now out there that are a little bit different. And what I mean by different is we're all looking at lumber prices and some of this other stuff that really kind of drives us all nuts. We've got some different answers here. Toby Bostwick, welcome to Around the House, brother.
Oh, great, Eric. I'm glad to be here and really appreciate you having me on. I look forward to spending some time with you this morning.
Thanks, man. Well, you guys have a little bit different philosophy out there, and it really grabbed my attention with building products out there. And this is just not your normal kind of building products company. You guys have a great mix between composites and steel, which I absolutely love. Let's dive into that today.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Eric. And you're exactly right. We've taken a different approach. I've been in this industry for a long time. And at Fortress, we've really decided to step back and in every situation start with the customer and then talk about the solution for the customer. And I think that's really driven, to your point, some of the diversity in our product lines, materials that we use, and offerings that we are really trying to bring to the marketplace.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that grabbed my attention. I mean, outside of just kind of like the railing stuff, but, you know, one of the biggest struggles right now, I know with homeowners and contractors alike, is watching that, you know, that treated lumber products price going through the roof like all the other lumber products. But you guys have a steel system for deck framing. That seems amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been an exciting ride. You're exactly right. We track the kind of that delta difference right between the treated lumber, our steel products, and specifically to the evolution steel framing. So we're watching that price difference all the time. These lumber prices have just been crazy. As you know, they're up about anywhere from 160 to 180% over the last year, depending upon, you know, what metrics you're following. And, you know, what we tried to do is just look at, you know, the evolution steel framing system and make sure that we were answering the solution first and just giving the contractors and the homeowners something that was truly durable, a little bit different of a concept, but something that, you know, was a little bit traditional from what contractors have been used to doing, right? So keeping some of the same dimensional type things, but giving them a system that, you know, from the start of the ledger board to their finishing out of the deck is something they're familiar with, but has a great return on investment from a long-term perspective.
No kidding. And out here on the West Coast, you know, we're, you know, my show goes across the country here. We've got great listeners up, you know, across the U.S. and even internationally with the podcast. But, using steel, and especially when you want to throw some things at it, like, you know, I want to put a hot tub in there. I want to put, you know, some of these other things that you want to deal with. Maybe you're in California and you're dealing with wildfires or Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington where it's a big deal. Those are all things that you can do to eliminate those risks, especially when you get, you know, like in a backyard where maybe you're up against a wildfire area that's just, you know, a space that's concerning. Now you're taking some combustibility stuff out away from your house, and that's not a bad thing sometimes.
Absolutely, Eric. I think for us, you know, when you're having those conversations now, you know, it's unfortunate. A lot of the wildfires that you talked about has driven some visibility into this space with steel, especially in the wood framing. And, you know, as people have moved more outside over the last year, you know, it's been a trend over several years, but the pandemic also shifted that approach outside. So building with something like Evolution Steel Framing, not only from the ease of installation, but to your point, whether you're talking about fire protection, whether you're talking about insects, that overall investment, right now people are paying attention to the new alternative, right? So wood alternative opportunities are just there. You know, you mentioned something about building beyond limitations. It's something with that system, we've really tried to invest the time and the understanding of what solutions could we solve, right? So taking away some of those spans or the limitations of span where you have less posts, you have better visibility, but you don't lose your rigidity, the ability to install hot tubs, span longer distances. Those types of things definitely come from the Evolution steel framing system.
Man, when you're building a big deck out in the back and maybe it's a two-story one where you've got a, you know, a living space above like mine, you know, or you're doing something like that, reducing the amount of posts and opening that view up is huge. And with steel, that's just a game changer. There's only so much you can do with wood before you start kind of pushing those limitations because the beam gets so big, it's getting in the way. And then you got to consider, okay, that beam is engineered for that, but what happens 10 years from now when it's either been, you know, baked in the sun or in my area, you know, 6 months out of the year, it's been soaked in water where maybe it's not going to hold up the way it did when it was first put in there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no denying the historical importance of wood and framing. And, you know, my grandfather did it this way and his grandfather did it that way. But, you know, as things change, you just hit the nail on the head. Wood has also changed. So not only from, you know, how new it is, the young parts, the cuts, things like that, but that performance. So you talk about building a larger deck, right? So whether you're using a composite type decking or a treated type decking, when you step back and look at those long spans, you start seeing that, you know, undulation, that up and down, right? Things start to twist, things start to warp. You go through pre-thaw type cycles and that steel framing starts to take that away. So when you're investing that type of money and you're really looking at improving that outdoor space, you want to have that flat surface. You want to come back year after year, not have to keep with a, you know, the normal upkeep. Or if you're doing a replacement, having to change out joists and really pay attention to the type of wood, but also the way the wood is performing nowadays is just continuing to be different. So it brings that safety factor and really brings some confidence into that side of the install.
Well, and then, you know, if you look back historically, you know, steel tended to have a hard time being competitive when people were just looking at price, right? You know, and sometimes and that's the struggle with all home improvement. There's people out there that, man, I am just going to pull this project off because this is all I can honestly afford. And they're going to build as big a deck as they can afford. And before they'd look at it and go, ah, steel, yeah, that's awesome. Not worried about it because maybe you miss that long-term, you know, that long-term view. And some of that, to be honest, when I look at kind of the thought process of it, was because you knew that you were putting down wood that, I might get a decade out of this wood, so I'll deal with it the next time I do it. But now you start putting down composites that might have a 20, 30, 50-year, whatever product you're putting down, warranty on it, and then you're putting down some treated wood that hopefully will last 10 or 15. Now you've got an interesting situation where you could put steel down there and now have a complete system that's going to last a lot longer than what I'd call your, you know, insert air quotes, typical deck.
Absolutely. And Eric, you're a great pitch man. I'd love to have you on the Fortress team because you're exactly right. I think you know, that mindset and that mind shift, right? If you go all the way back to the 90s, early 2000s, when composite decking was even coming on the scene, it's that conversion, right? And understanding, hey, what is that value going to bring into my outdoor space? And now fast forward to where we are today, and you hit it where you have composites, you have, you know, PVC decking, doesn't matter what the brand is,
yeah,
installing, and it's that type of investment. And then you go to the substructure below, and you know, over time, the performance levels are going to be different. So it's that easy kind of conversation now when you're talking with homeowners, or, you know, it doesn't matter, even just the single family to the commercial space, the idea around that investment and the durability and that long-term investment is just an easier conversation because that awareness is starting to grow. And that steel framing just brings that to the table every time that conversation happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's cool. And one thing on your website that grabbed my attention, a little bit of a pivot here, you know, for instance, I'm working on my house right now. I'm literally in the middle of building my deck right now. It's about halfway done, and it's I'm bouncing between that and doing my a bathroom project right now. But one of the things that grabbed my attention was, you know, I've got this contemporary kind of 1970s house, so it's kind of at the end of the what some people would call the mid-century look and into the contemporary look. But I saw your cladding that you guys have for siding and stuff out there. That really grabbed my attention because I'm going to be doing cedar on the front of my house, in front of my door, because I've got this cool angled facade that really is screaming for that design-wise. But I'm like, oh, a composite cladding, something I don't have to worry about going out and staining every few years and dealing with on the outside of my house.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time for, especially in that cladding piece. You know, we try to cover the category, as you know, and we have 8 different product categories, and cladding just coming on to the market for Fortress has been a huge pickup, just to provide another solution for our customers. And the design element, as you just pointed out, is huge. The ability to really talk about the long going and long term maintenance costs. You hit the nail on the head, Eric. It's a different perspective when now you can step back, have a wood alternative source. You're not out there every weekend, you know, cleaning, restaining, scraping out during your summer months, right? You're enjoying your outdoor space. And that's what it's about, because our time is valuable. And that's the change we're dealing with across each one of our product categories, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And you guys even get into fencing. I mean, that's
absolutely,
you guys have this kind of, sheesh, it's a wide range. I mean, it looks like it's residential and commercial. Am I explaining that correctly?
You are. So we actually cover many different categories, whether it's residential, commercial, industrial, and high security with our fencing line. And we've really, to our earlier part of our conversation, we've taken a step back and looked at fencing completely differently, where in some areas it is just to protect that outside perimeter. In some areas it's for an aesthetic. It's that privacy space. It's a high security opportunity. And especially on the steel fencing side, there's so many different uses now with fencing that our offering just continues to expand as we look for different solutions to the problems or opportunities that are out there.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, I've got, you know, friends and stuff that, that are in our listening audience that battle. They want to put in a 6-foot fence so they can meet code, but they want to be able to get something up there that maybe, you know, the larger wild animals aren't just going to pop right over with. And
absolutely,
you guys have some, even in your, like your V2, I'm on their website looking at some of the commercial ornamental stuff. It looks good, but it's going to be a lot harder to get over if you're an animal, where they can pop right over that cedar fence and get through that. But the one that really grabbed my attention, that I was like, that's really cool, is your estate ornamental, where you've got the wood or composite mixed in with the steel. That is like for everybody's home. And it looks like it meets the name pretty good, like Fortress, but it's pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit it, right? That estate product is, it gives you the versatility in design, but then different composites, whether it, you know, you can use a composite picket, a wood picket, and it really gives you an upscale look. But to your earlier point, if you're in a commercial application and you need that privacy and you want to keep that modern look, you can still do that with that estate. As you shift to the more of the single family, that multifamily, and you're looking for a privacy opportunity, now you can dress it up with some composite products, gives you that long-term from a performance standpoint, lowers your maintenance. But that overall look is huge, and especially in today's market where you're seeing the availability of your standard five-quarter pickets and your standard fencing pickets be limited on the wood side. Now you can bring that composite mix into a steel frame like a state and give that look and the availability right now that that people are desiring.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. We tried to do about a decade ago, I think it was. I'd have to go back and look at the calendar and figure it out. But my parents were building a new house, and they really wanted to have a – and they live out kind of in the deserts of eastern Washington in the Tri-Cities. And I grew up there, great place, but they put in – a composite fencing back in the, I think it was Trex. I don't want to badmouth anybody out there, but it was the early days of composite fencing. And in the summer heat, this fence a decade later looks like silly putty.
Sure.
You know, it didn't hold up because it just didn't have enough testing and it was so new and so new to the marketplace. It needs to get pulled out. Now this is a great option because you can put the composites in there with the strength of steel, so it's not going to have that problem moving around.
Absolutely, and just as you pointed out, whether it's a wood plastic composite, a bamboo plastic composite, whatever type of composite it is, you know, the effects from pre-thaw, you know, the different cycles in weathering are all things that continue to affect those types of product lines. And this gives you the best of both worlds. You get the rigidity of a steel frame that holds your shape, holds the performance, then you get that look and that aesthetic appeal with the longevity of a wood composite or a bamboo type composite like our different products that we have. So very excited about what this does for the customers and our audience. So definitely agree with you, Eric.
That's great. And the other thing you guys get into too, which is to me is fun, and we teased a little bit about it, is you guys have one of the widest range of railings for decks out there as well. There's so many people out there that are, you know, we're coming into deck season right now where people are kind of getting outside, looking around, going, huh, don't think I'm going on that cruise this year, so let's hang out around the house a little bit more. What can we do to upgrade stuff? And if you've got, you know, that old railing that's looking, you know, horrible around the deck, jumping in and doing a really cool railing out there can change everything, especially if you've got a view that you want to try to capture.
Absolutely. I mean, we try to cover across the whole spectrum when it comes to railing. That's really, you know, where Fortress got its start. You know, back in 2002, when Fortress got started, it was with that interior railing baluster. And it was, again, how do we find better solutions? And railing is really what put Fortress on the map that allows us to cover everything from the cable space to your point, Eric, that allows that freedom, that visibility, and that aesthetic appeal. And in today's day, you know, that design element of that outdoor space is so important. So whether it's cable rail, the different steel railings that we offer, aluminum, glass railing, right, is another big pickup from Fortress of where you got that visibility. It looks great. The aesthetic appeal and design is there, but that long-term performance is there. And we don't stop there, right? We also get into that solution side of it. So whether it's the graspability with a, you know, an ADA type handrail, those types of things, we want to have a solution for an aesthetic opportunity, a performance opportunity, or a safety opportunity when it comes to our railing line.
Nice. Nice. I mean, it's, I like to have options on that. You know, I lean a little more contemporary styled for me. So the cable railing is really cool with a glass if you've got that view that you're trying to get into. But I do like when you're talking outside decks, especially if you've got a, you know, you're out in the woods or you're out in a cabin, something like that, or you just want to really take that composite and wrap it out. You guys have that that railing that'll kind of work with that as well, where you can go through and do, you know, that more baluster style railing, but mix it up with the composites.
Absolutely. And it just as with our framing, you know, it doesn't matter the type, the style, the material. We want to provide an opportunity, and our different baluster options can work with a standard, you know, 2x4, 2x6 type treated system, redwood, doesn't matter, or taking it over to the composite side. So when you're looking at our posts, when you're looking at rails, we have those composite offerings. If you want to stay in that low maintenance wood alternative space, you can have the baluster look you want with a composite top rail post and just have that complete system. So, you know, it is an offering for us that we try to think about every design aspect, you know, talk with our contractor partners. You know, that's a big part of ensuring that we're continuing to develop the right things for the right audience as we bring these products like the balusters to the marketplace.
Nice. That's exciting. Now, what's talking about exciting? What do you guys have coming out here for 2021? I know we're kind of just coming out of the builder show and we're looking into springtime when people start working outside. Do you guys have anything fun coming out here for 2021?
We do. I'll try to not get in too much trouble, Eric, by letting too much out of the bag, but you know, a little tease is good here and there, but yeah, absolutely. So we hit the ground running with our cladding, as you pointed out. So we have the, you know, on the PVC bamboo side with the Apex cladding, we have on the composite side with the I-Series, the Infinity cladding. So that is something we're going to continue to focus in that space, bringing new and innovative things in 2021 into that cladding space. So you're going to see some exciting things from us as we move throughout this year. But each one of our product categories, we operate in those 8 product categories. Pergolas is a great step, and you're going to see exciting things, Eric, this year. As that outdoor space continues to grow, so do we, right? You move off of that deck space, you move to that pergolas, the outdoor kitchens, all the way out to that perimeter of the fence, really covering that backyard. Our different categories, as we talked about earlier, a couple other new things that you're going to see as we talk about the commercial space, mm-hmm. the fencing line. So whether it's steel or the aluminum segment, you're going to see new offerings that really fit not only the residential and industrial, but into that commercial space. And so a lot of new things coming out. We're based on innovation, and I won't get specific because I know I'll get in trouble from my marketing team and product team.
I was
going to
say, I don't want to get you on the conference call this afternoon with marketing. So, you know, it's always that fine line we run.
Yeah, absolutely. But, man, we're excited. And I appreciate you asking that, Eric. There's a lot of new innovation things going on. Trying to really listen to the customers because, as you know, it's really changing. The environment's changed over the last year. Availability of products, cost, prices. So we're just trying to be cognizant, making sure that we're living our purpose, trying not to compete, but more just competing with Fortress and living our purpose of what we want to do for all of our customers.
Nice. I mean, that's the thing, you know, when it comes down to it, there are so many different, you guys have such a wide product range. It's not that, to me, it doesn't seem that hard to pivot because you've got the mix of steel and composite and all the little things that go around with that. So there's a lot of opportunities out there, and there's a lot of demand for it too, especially with the industry shortages that we're running into out there with a lot of building materials.
You're exactly right. It's something we have seen even from, you know, as the pandemic happened in, you know, March of last year, the lockdown started to take place. You saw homeowners, but you saw different industries start to change, right? Whether it's the e-commerce, the retail, the quick ship programs, but the availability of making sure you're staying in contact with your customers, listening to how they buy, where they buy, where they spend their time. It's a definite effort we've made across the board in each one of our product categories. As you pointed out, we have 8 different product categories, and we want to be a mile wide and a mile deep in each one of those product categories. And that's really our focus, to have a clear plan, a clear execution strategy. Once we've listened to the customer segment, that is where we spend our time in innovation and bringing that solution to the market.
Awesome, Toby. Anything else that we haven't covered today? And if you're listening to the show right now, by the way, and you're by the interweb, head over to fortressbp.com. That's where you can find these guys.
Absolutely. I think the last thing, and Eric, as we've talked about in the past, is, you know, we completely changed the business model at Fortress, which is so exciting for the future and where we're going. And our focus is a global focus to truly change the way people build and live, right? When you look at Fortress and who we are, that's probably the biggest thing I would leave with you is, you know, we're excited about listening to our customers first, stepping back, creating solutions, not trying to just bring something that everybody's used to and having another color or another rail or another, you know, frame. We want to make sure we're delivering a solution that is demanded, that is needed. And that's our focus at Fortress. And we're having fun doing it, which is the most important thing. That's why I'm in this industry, and I'll never leave it. It's an enjoyable thing to do, as you know, in building products.
Absolutely. Toby Bostwick, Fortress Building Products. Check them out at fortressbp.com. Thanks for coming on the show today, brother.
Great, Eric. Thank you very much.
Man, I always love it when companies have a different way of looking at things. You know, with wood prices being so high, for me in the past, you know, I'd look at steel. Love working with steel. I know how to weld, and that's awesome. These guys have a bolt-together steel system, which is great for decking. But then it comes down to budget sometimes, and, you know, I don't have the biggest pocketbook for that kind of thing. So for me, it's always like, oh, that'd be cool, but I can't afford it. Well, now you can.
Now it's not that much.
It's about the same price as what wood is, and they've got it on the shelf where maybe you don't have. You know, I've got my secret squirrel place I get wood from here, but trying to find good lumber these days is pretty tough sometimes. And with the shortages and the prices being so high, I mean, I was laughing because, you know, I was coming into the Tri-Cities last weekend in eastern Washington here and into KONA country, and I saw a truck driving from Oregon heading into Washington to go drop off 5 units of that 7/16 OSB. Well, two things that's funny is I know they were coming from Oregon because they probably went down to, there's a Home Depot store right across the border.
Yeah, in the Pendleton area.
Hermiston there, I think, is where it is. And you get contractors going down there all the time because you've got about a 9% sales tax in Washington.
And a 0%
sales tax. Exactly, and no sales tax in Oregon. And then when you're paying $37 a sheet.
That's a hefty sales tax.
There's a hefty sales tax. And so when you've got, I don't know, is there 100 sheets per unit? Think about that at $37 a sheet. Ouch! That was my comment on Facebook page for us going, did he need an armored car for that? It's like gold. So really, what I want to talk about here before we go out to break is railings, because we talked about this a little bit. It's a big safety thing. If you have that deck that's over a couple feet high, check your local building code. You need to have a railing. I don't want to see people falling off the deck. We're going to get a little crazy out there. We all are, because once they open stuff up,
we're
going to make some bad choices. We're going to make up for lost time. This is how we do it in the United States. Yeah. We make up for lost time. If you weren't watching the spring break in Florida last week,
that'll be everybody.
It's going to be everybody doing this, so just get used to that. But I want to make sure that everybody's protected. And if you've got some friends over at barbecue and somebody's not paying attention and their chair slides off, you know, they slide off the back of the deck because they're sitting there and they scoot back a little more, or somebody's horsing around, somebody gets hurt, that's your liability.
Yeah.
Put in a good railing. Think about it. I've got railings here, the Mead Code. No railings because my deck is off the ground.
I was going to say your deck's barely.
Barely. It's there. It's, you know, I'm technically fine. There's three places I'm going to put railings in because I need to, you know, and that's one of the things that I really want people to make sure that they do out there when in doubt, especially behind seating areas. And I've got a couple places there that if you did land in the landscaping, it'd probably leave a mark. Don't want that.
No,
I don't want that. So we're going to be really careful with that and add it just as an extra one to make sure. But even though building code doesn't require it,
better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Well, hey, when we come back here, I want to talk a little bit about sheds and outdoor building and getting that storage shed. And there's some keys there that I want to talk about that can really make it last long, or in 2 years, you're going to be doing it over again. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend and all during the week as well. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. You might be listening to Last Call right here, but we do go all week long.
You got it. This is where we have fun. This is kind of the last segment of the show this time. Make sure you catch us on the podcast all during the week. That midweek special, which comes in kind of that Tuesday, Wednesday now, we've kind of bumped it up just to give people a chance to listen before we drop in the Thursday one.
Yeah.
Just to kind of even things out a little bit. So kind of midday Tuesday, you're going to start seeing that midweek special kind of pop in. So that way it gives time to populate, because with our podcast, I can put it up and it's on our RSS feed right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it might take
Apple 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 hours, or any of the other groups to get out there. And I'm like, you know, let's get it so we get that one out there so people get it so they have it on Wednesday versus they might get it midday Wednesday.
Well, that or putting it up on Wednesday and then them not getting it till Thursday. And then it's not really a midweek special.
And then it's not really that. And then all of a sudden it's stepping on the Thursday one because it went right up. And so
Thursdays could also take till Friday, though.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the part we're trying to work through, guys, and we really appreciate it. I wanted to talk this segment here about shed building, you know, going out to the woodshed.
That was a big project for you last year.
Last year, yeah. I had all that extra material that I had brought back and needed to get a shed built to get some things kind of put
material,
away.
Extra material, what is that? That's not around anymore.
I know it. Yeah, that was all the stuff I harvested from the show. So it was stuff that was going in the dumpster that was brand new awesome lumber that I just didn't want to see get wasted. Well, here's the thing, and I don't care if you're going down to your Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever, and you're buying a shed as your project.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see happen is you pick out the right shed for the project. But really, first, I want to make sure that you know what size is legal in your area, because certain areas will say, hey, the biggest shed you can build without a building permit is X. So you might have to get a permit for some of these things, because all of a sudden it's an accessory building and not a shed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. I'm over here rolling my eyes because why are people telling me? I should be able to build a shed however I want to build a shed.
Yeah, but the problem is that some people have this little postage stamp backyard and they want to build a 36 foot shed.
That's just their backyard.
That's their backyard. So they want to make sure they do that. They want to make sure that some areas will say, hey, we want to leave some access between for the fence. You know, you might have a utility easement in the back for like power lines that they have a plan. There's an easement that goes back there for the truck to go back to swap out a power pole.
Access to. Yeah.
And if you put a shed right in the middle of that, you might have to move that. And that's where that gets expensive, or you're building a new shed. So really plan out where that's going to go. Make sure it's not sitting on easements. Make sure that they don't have to go moving that if they dig up the sewer line or that kind of stuff. So pay attention to where that's going. Now, the other one that I want you to really pay attention to, and this is probably one of the most important things out of the entire shed project, that is the foundation. Whatever you're doing, if you're putting it on a pre-made base that came with it, or if you're framing your own thing, if you can get in there and put it on a concrete slab, always going to be best.
Yep.
But really, you want to make sure you understand what's going on in your area. What do I mean? If you're in an area that has high winds, I want to make sure that you've got that thing tied down, because too many times we see sheds taking off across somebody's yard because they didn't do it right. And you got to spend the time. I don't care if you do this weeks in advance or whatever you're doing, but that base needs to be dead on level. I want to see that just exactly the way it should be, because a lot of these sheds, especially some of the metal ones that you have to bolt together, some of those arrow sheds and stuff.
Yeah.
Not throwing any shade on those guys, but if
they
that thing
purpose,
is,
but
they do, but if it's out of level at all, you fight that thing the entire time. The bolts won't line up. It's going to be racked. It's never going to go together correctly. It's different that when you're framing something, you can kind of move things around and get it there. The bolt together ones, it's going to be a disaster.
It has to be a certain way for it to operate properly.
Yeah, and make sure when you're doing those kind of shed kits like the metal, you need two or three people. So make sure you've got enough help. That is not a one-person job.
No, I've seen, I saw a video of you putting up one for a friend of yours.
Yep.
And yeah, I saw a lot of you, but your buddy was definitely giving you a helping hand there.
Those are not easy. So make sure you've got lots of help with that. Or what you can do is there's other companies out there that build them and set them up for you.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to the pre-made, you know, there's the tough sheds. And that's what I also want you to keep in mind too, is what's your snow load? You get 4 feet of snow in the wintertime, I don't want to see you putting one of those little tin metal sheds up out there. You're going to crush that thing down. Maybe that's where you have a really framed regular shed. Like I got a buddy who I'm going to help him a little bit with here in the coming weeks. He just needs a little garden shed in the backyard and just needs something simple. And it's up against a fence. It's legal to put it there. And he got one of the Rubbermaid snap together ones. And we're going to go a little bit more and use some adhesives to make sure that we can make sure that it doesn't take off in the wind, because he's out on the east side.
Give it some extra support.
A little extra support out there. We're going to We're going to do some little fastening tricks when he puts it together to make sure little silicone, pure silicone to lock these things in a little bit more to see them not lift up. Maybe you have to put a couple screws in to keep things together, but really we're going to make sure that that doesn't blow away. But when it comes down to it, make sure that you're building the shed for your weather conditions. If you're in an area where it floods, maybe you need to build this thing up a little bit so it's off the ground.
A little elevated. Yeah.
You know, pay attention. I had to build mine up on a platform because where it's at, there's water that kind of goes through that little gully. I built over the top of the gully versus filling that in. So that way the water can go under the shed without hurting the things inside. So those are all things that I really want people to pay attention to when you're taking on that shed project. Well, pick the right one out or build your own.
And when you put it up on a platform, it's really easy to make sure you get it level.
It is. It really is. And then, you know, put that in concrete then at that point, like I did. I put some pretty good footings in for that because I've got a lot of weight in that shed storing stuff. So, you know, just think about the weatherproofing, all those different things, and that's going to get you a great project. Man, we are running out of time.
It's the end of the show.
It is. Hey, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. If you want to get a hold of us, that is the best place to get a hold of us there. You can send us a message. You can give us a phone call in the studio. You can take a look at our videos. And, of course, make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You actually don't have to subscribe. Now you just have to follow us, because when you follow us, that's how you get notified of all the new content. And that's what we've got for the show this week. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by, designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at aroundthehouseonline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.